presided at a funeral service 2 weeks ago. It was an unusual service. It was a double. It was a couple, a married couple, who had died within 2 days of each other. Instead of having their birth and death dates on the remembrance card, the holy card, the family chose to put their wedding date, for they had been married over 50 years. They had been joined in life, and now they were joined in death. And they were also joined in their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and joined in Christ for all eternity. As part of the funeral service, the family chose a reading from Psalm 23, which is the Good Shepherd Psalm. And since today is traditionally referred to as Good Shepherd Sunday, as we always have readings about Jesus as the Good Shepherd on this fourth Sunday of Easter, I'd like to share with you the version of the Psalm 23 that I read at that funeral. And it's a slightly different version than we're used to, one that Father Tobin had in the bulletin a few months ago. And since both of these, the husband and wife, had both attended MIT, I thought they would appreciate this version of Psalm 23, and it goes like this. The Lord is my programmer. I shall not crash. He installed his software on the hard disk of my heart. All of his commands are user-friendly. His directory guides me to the right choices for his name's sake. And even though I scroll through the problems of life, I will fear no bugs, for he is my backup. His best password protects me. He prepares a menu before me in the presence of my enemies. His help is only a keystroke away. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and my file will be merged with his and saved forever. We are now in the 21st century, and most of us in the 21st century have probably never even met a shepherd. I found this reading that would kind of help us understand a little bit about what a shepherd does, and it's about a modern-day shepherd. Some years ago, a national magazine carried a story about an unusual girl named Laura Bell. After graduating from college, she took a job as a sheep herder in Wyoming. And for the next 3 years, Laura was on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, tending 2,000 sheep. All this time, she was completely alone except for her horse, her dog, and the sheep. Once a week, someone rode out to the distant hill country where she pastured her sheep to bring her food and her mail. Laura's job taught her a lot about herself. The long hours alone gave her time she needed to ponder her future, her doubts, her dreams. They also gave her the time to clarify her values and to set her goals. But Laura's job did more than teach her a lot about herself. It also taught her a lot about Jesus. The Bible uses the image of a shepherd to describe Jesus. And now Laura experienced firsthand why the Bible uses that image. She learned firsthand what the qualities of a good shepherd are. First of all, a good shepherd is a totally committed person. A shepherd lives for the flock day after day, week after week. Shepherding isn't just another job, like working in the office or clerking in a store. Shepherding isn't a job at all. It's a way of life. You don't shepherd sheep because it's a job to earn a living. You shepherd sheep because it's a job you love. And an aside here, this Sunday of the year is World Day of Prayer for Vocations. And this is where we especially ask our young people to consider, as you're considering your future, not just to consider finding a job, but finding a vocation, something you can dedicate your life in service, particularly vocations as a pastoral vocation, as a priest or sister or a lay minister in our church. When Jesus called himself a good shepherd, he meant that he was committed to his flock. All of his energies and concerns were for the flock entrusted to him. And this brings us to the second quality a good shepherd needs. Besides being deeply committed, a shepherd must be a deeply caring person. A shepherd's satisfaction is tied up with the welfare of the flock. When the flock is happy, the shepherd is happy. And when the flock is in pain, the shepherd is in pain. The third quality a good shepherd must have is to be courageous. There's a story in the first book of Samuel about how young David volunteered to fight the giant Philistine Goliath. The king refused to let David do this. He said, "You are only a youth," while Goliath has been a warrior from his youth. And David responded, "Your servant used to tend his father's sheep, and whenever a lion or a bear came to carry off a sheep from the flock, I would go after it and attack it and rescue the prey from its mouth. The Lord who delivered me from the claws of the lion and the bear will also keep me safe from the Philistine." And we all know how that story ended. Little David beat big Goliath. And so Laura Bell's unusual job taught her a lot, not only about herself, but about Jesus. It taught her why the Bible gave Jesus the title the Good Shepherd. It was because he had to a perfect degree the three qualities every shepherd must have. He was committed, caring, and courageous. His sole concern was his flock, which his father had entrusted to him. It taught her why Jesus is a model for all parents, all teachers, and all others whose vocation is to care for others. In the gospel I read this evening, Jesus uses another image besides Good Shepherd to describe himself. He refers to himself as the gate through which the sheep enter. You need to visualize what it was like. In the evenings when the shepherds gathered their sheep in to protect them for the night, they gather them into a kind of a corral, but it didn't have a door. The door, the gate, was the shepherd himself. Because the shepherd would just lay down and sleep, stretched out in front of where the sheep were. And the sheep wouldn't leave because they knew their shepherd and they wouldn't go past him. And the shepherd would know if any thief was coming so he could protect his sheep. And Jesus says that he is the gate through which the sheep enter and exit. Jesus also compares himself to the gate that we all enter through to the Heavenly Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we pray in that Psalm 23, he is the gate to the green fields of eternal life. He says, "I came to that you might have life and have it more abundantly." We do not have to be afraid with our good shepherd with us throughout our lives and even and especially at our hour of death. Someone will be entering a gate at one of the airports in our country on Tuesday. It's April 15th, and he's not just coming here to get his income tax return filed on time, but he's coming to pay us a pastoral visit. Pope Benedict XVI will be spending the next week with us. It's interesting, he's paying a pastoral visit, not a political visit, because he is our universal pastor. That's why he carries that shepherd's crook with him. He is the successor to St. Peter, whom we heard in the first two readings. There's an interesting article in Time magazine last week about how much he's been looking forward to this trip and how much he admires the vitality of the church here in the United States. But he will be visiting us as our universal shepherd. 3 years ago, when we had these same readings, we were on a three-year cycle. We hear the same readings every 3 years. Pope John Paul II had just passed away. And as a church, we had 9 days of special prayer, a novena, before the cardinals went into conclave, when they lock them up in that building and they don't let them out until they come to a conclusion of who the next pope, who the next successor to St. Peter will be. I remember very vividly the moment that they actually chose Benedict XVI. Our family had been gathered around my mother-in-law, who was in hospice care at the time, and at the moment she died was the moment the white smoke went up the chimney. They were moving moments, both in their own way. a new shepherd for the universal church, and also a reminder to us that our mother had gone home to be with the Lord. She was someone who was not afraid to die because she knew the good shepherd was there to greet her. In our first and second readings today, we hear from St. Peter, the first pope. He stepped out on the balcony and addressed the people in Jerusalem after that very first novena that went from Ascension Thursday to the first Pentecost Sunday, the 9 days of prayer. And the Holy Spirit came down and gave him the courage to step out. You may have gotten a little pamphlet in the mail asking us to pray for a novena for our own Festival of Faith that we'll be having in Orlando in May to celebrate the ongoing outpouring of the Spirit, especially on our local diocese. When Peter spoke, he was like Jesus the week before that we heard when he was on the road to Emmaus, when the disciples said, "Did not our hearts burn within us?" When Peter spoke, the people who heard him say, they were cut to their heart. And 3,000 people on the spot converted to become Christians, the birthday of the church, that first Pentecost. This week, Pope Benedict will speak to hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people in our country. But not only to people in our country, he will also stop at the United Nations in New York and address leaders from all the countries in the world. And his message will be the same basic message, the kerygma, that St. Peter preached on that first Pentecost Sunday. And the basic message has not changed over the ages. It says, turn to the Good Shepherd and listen to his voice that is never old, but is eternally new. Our Good Shepherd that was predicted in that Psalm 23 in the Old Testament, that psalm that's chosen at so many funerals, that was chosen at the funeral of that couple. And I will read the more traditional translation to end. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In green pastures he gives me repose, beside restful waters he leads me, he refreshes my soul. He guides me in right paths for his name's sake, and even though I walk in the valley of death, I fear no evil, for you are at my side. With your rod and your staff you give me courage. You spread the table before me in the sight of my foes. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Let us continue with our liturgy as we move towards the Lord's table.